I was reading about the war in Ukraine this morning, and I came across a frightening headline, and I want to get right to our man in Lviv, Joseph Lindsley. Here's the headline. Russian troops in Ukraine are compiling lists of journalists for questioning. Apparently, Russian soldiers in some regions of the country are drawing up lists of leading local figures to be kidnapped and are searching for journalists in order to make them collaborate or silence them. Joseph, are you and your colleagues fearful of this? How you doing today?
Hey, Bob. Good morning. Good afternoon to you. You know, we've heard these stories since before the war, and even last fall, I would say last November here in Lviv, I had warnings from friends in America that the Russians, and there were some stories published about this, that the Russians were, because they thought when they invaded Ukraine that the country would fall very quickly. They were preparing lists of not only journalists, but leading citizens who they would target and execute, and so that the cities would fall more quickly. And so we had strong reports that there were operatives all the way here in Lviv in Western Ukraine. And, you know, I mean, you could sort of enter into a state of paranoia sometimes, but certainly there were a lot of strange people going around to the places that I would frequent. And so this is not a surprise. And it's been we've seen, for example, the Russians, you know, the Ukrainian city of Kherson near the Black Sea has been occupied for more than a month now. And there's no longer free speech. There's no longer free media. They've taken over TV stations. And so this is one of the main it's yet another example of why Ukrainians do not want to be controlled by Moscow. They prefer to live in a free country where there is a free press. So, yeah, this is not unexpected. This is Russian behavior.
There's a report about Ukrainian farmers in, I guess, the southern region that borders the front line. They're wearing body armor to plow their fields. Ukraine is a huge exporter of wheat, and eventually, if the war continues, we're going to see effects of this in our grocery stores here, won't we?
I think so. And I mean, from what I've, you know, the little news I've been able to read from America, I mean, you have had the supply chain problems already. Mm-hmm. for some time, thanks to the pandemic. And I think that, yes, the world's going to feel this the longer this drags on. I mean, it is, you know, growing season now is beginning, and the farmers are, you know, they're doing two things while they're planting their crops, but they're also removing tanks and Russian missiles that have hit their fields, but they continue to do their work. So while they continue, and then the other thing is, you know, the exports. And the more Ukraine, I mean, you know, Ukraine still has a major seaport of Odessa, but Russia is moving to control all of Ukraine's coast, which is a major, you know, that's where the export points are for so much of the world. And so if Russia does succeed in that, the world's going to certainly feel a shortage of necessary food.
Do most of the missile strikes occur in the morning, your time, I'm talking about?
It depends on where. I mean, in Kharkiv, they, for example, you know, the city 20 miles from Russia, they tend to be, you know, throughout the day. Same in besieged Mariupol. But otherwise, yes, they tend to be sort of in the early morning hours. All the strikes that have occurred in the west, either in Lviv or close to Lviv, they have all been except for one. They were all in the early morning hours, between 4 and 8 in the morning.
Has it been mostly quiet today?
Yeah, and we're sort of getting, it's like a, you know, yo-yo back and forth there. But you know, we had Monday, we had air raid alarms all day. We had a strike near the city in the morning. Yesterday it was pretty quiet. Today we did have an alarm in the morning, but it's strangely quiet. I have heard a lot of ambulances today in the city, and you know, it's unusual sound in peaceful Lviv to hear sirens before the war. But today there's lots of ambulance activity, which suggests that, you know, I mean, there's probably people being brought from all around Ukraine into the hospitals here in Lviv.
You'll like this text we got from a listener yesterday. It says, "Joseph's reports from Ukraine are a testament to his education at Notre Dame."
Thank you for that. And I do appreciate that education and all those things that helped prepare me for this moment here. And, you know, I want to mention also the big, I think the biggest news today is besides the ongoing atrocities, for example, in Mariupol, but is the Russia's as of today is cutting off gas supply to Poland and Bulgaria because those two countries refuse to pay in rubles. Mm-hmm. About a third of Europe's natural gas supply comes from Russia. And the Baltic countries, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, earlier this month said no more Russian oil or gas, but much of Europe continues to receive Russian gas, including Germany. And it'll be interesting to see how that affects, political willpower to support Ukraine. And if the Russians really think that they can use their oil strength as a bargaining chip.
Maybe we can look at that as a sign, the fact that Russia is trying to put more pressure on countries as an indication that things are not going the way Russia had hoped as far as military operations.
Yes, I would hope so. But I would also say, and we don't know, to what extent Putin is still sort of mentally competent. I mean, I think that, looking at some of these photos, that could be a question. Mm-hmm. But I would say, he's an old KGB guy and a, sort of a master geopolitical chess player. So I never want to be complacent, but it's a new dynamic now as of today. And we'll see how the Germans will react to it, if they will accept not having Russian gas.
Joseph Lindsley in Lviv, as always, Joe, we're grateful for your commentary and reporting here every morning, and we'll talk tomorrow.
Bob, talk to you later. Thank you.